In my report for this evening, we have Mr. Troy Nash here with the Nash Group, and he's going to update us on the Brunswick project.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor, members of the council. I don't have a feel-good story. No mayor's calling me from Acapulco, but the mayor of Marshall is calling me. And so I'm here, guys, to really give you all an update. First of all, let me say thank you for your continued support for what is turning out to be a very difficult and challenging project. As you all know, myself and Bill, who is here with me, Julia, we purchased that building some years ago with the intent toward demolishing and tearing it down and obviously making way for housing that is acceptable to the community. We've gone through two MHDC rounds. The first round consisted of us applying and having $1.9 million of cost above and beyond what MHDC thought was necessary. And so as a result, we came back, we retooled the plan, and was able to take $900,000 off the table with the redesign. But that $1 million price tag for the demolition, or near $1 million price tag, still remains. And so we thought, okay, we're going to go to our federal friends and ask for help. And we did. And we were successful. In other words, in July 12th of last year, the Housing and Transportation Subcommittee passed an appropriations bill. In that bill was $1 million earmarked for the demolition of the old Fitzgibbon Hospital. It passed the House. It is languishing in the Senate, just sitting there. We're waiting, hoping, praying that they would pass the bill. So we made application again and kept our fingers crossed that the Senate would act to pass the appropriations bill. Frankly, guys, all of the earmarks for both Republican and Democratic legislators alike were loaded in that appropriations bill in the House and shoved in the Senate. And notwithstanding a few senators there, the senators began to add their projects in the bill too. So it's in the appropriations bill in the Senate. The chairman of that bill is Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont, who has since announced his retirement as well. And so we're hoping to get that bill moving. Now, that should have been passed October of last year with the federal government's fiscal year. Well, they couldn't agree on the debt limit, and so they kicked the can down the road, and you all are familiar with the continuing resolution that expired this December, right? The government's going to collapse, the world's going to end kind of a thing, and so they did it again. And so this February 15th, the second continuing resolution expires, and given all that was going on with other legislative priorities, believe it or not, the federal government's appropriations bill got pushed back, although they took the Defense Department bill out, nearly $800 billion, passed that, and left the rest of the governmental expenditures operating on the continuing resolution, which simply means the government operates on last year's budget priorities rather than this one. That's where the $1 million is. That's where the holdup is. Until we get the building down, we're going to find ourselves in this position. Right now, I have talked to the congressman's office. He remains committed. His office remains committed to that. The city, you all are the applicant. Thank God for that. It's a government-to-government kind of transaction. So we are all waiting to see what our friends are going to do. I am hearing different things about that bill. Some are favorable, some are not. It's all politics. But until we get that building down, it's going to be very difficult for us to move forward. Remember, whether I own it or someone else in this room owns it, you all have been very helpful, very gracious in your support. We have the asbestos estimate, right? We know how much it costs to remediate the asbestos. We have the demolition bid estimate. We're ready to go, right? But to pay for it, it's through this federal earmark. So whomever owns that building, their zero is the cost of the demolition of the building. You do a housing project, there are any number of metrics that are used to ensure that you deliver a quality, affordable project, but do it in a way that makes economic and financial sense, particularly working with other financing entities like the Housing Commission. Having said that, though, I would like to maybe at some point in time get with your new city administrator, whom someone I've had an opportunity to meet before, good choice. And really began to talk about other avenues. The last time I was here, there was no infrastructure bill that had been passed. And that infrastructure bill is as massive as that social spending bill that the current administration is trying to get through. And so I know for a fact that those monies exist, and we would have to seek those through the state. And so that is something that I think is worthy of a conversation. And your state senator has been supportive, and someone that I've gotten to know, and your new state rep as well there. But the state is in a very significant position with respect to monies that simply did not exist when we were here before, and I think that's something that we ought to consider doing. With that, are there any questions, concerns, comments, compliments? We'll take what we can get at this point.
I do have a question about, so if the tax credit avenue doesn't become available, what are our options?
Any number of options. The fact that we own the building, there are so many ways that property can be redeveloped. The Housing Commission is just one, and for those of you who may not be familiar, I served on the commission for 10 years, otherwise I know how the commission works. Tax credits is just one way of doing it. We were seeking a 9% tax credit. What that means in plain English is nearly 100% financing, right? We would still have to provide the guarantees, et cetera, et cetera. You can look at a 4% federal only credit. What that means is you have much less equity from the commission, but it's not as competitive as a 9%. Those 9% are very, very difficult to get. 4%, not so much. But with that, that leaves a bigger gap. I'll give an example. Let's assume we take mayor and members of the council the exact same footprint we had with previous applications, and we wanted to do all the things that we said we were going to do. If you use MHDC tax credit monies, there's no prevailing wage requirement. Don't start throwing things at me. I didn't do it. The Republican legislature did it. And so developers who do state tax credit deals cheer, right? And so if we went the 4% federal only there, that would generate, or that total development cost would be around $13 million, but with a gap of $8 million, right? Pretty big gap, 9% no gap. If you do the exact same project with prevailing wage, it bumps it up to about $17 million with a $10 million gap, right? Now that's just sort of the MHDC way of doing it. That's why I suggested that the city manager or some subcommittee of the committee or committee of the whole, whatever you all decide, we begin to talk about the state monies now that are very significant, that if we were to work in partnership and go after the application with the right level of push, I think we could be successful. In fact, I know we could. Now, all of this is happening in a hyper-political environment. Redistricting is happening, guys. And what that means is in plain English, there are a couple of maps floating. There's a 7-1 talk and a 6-2 actual map. They're actually debating that right now in the Missouri House, which would mean your congressional representation could change. It would change, and you all know this. I will tell you firsthand that wouldn't change the commitment to the extent that change takes place with respect to the congressman's previous commitments. They would remain. But that also means things are changing throughout the state. All of these things, we've assessed them, Phil and I, and Julia, and we see them as favorable to what it is we're attempting to do. But we need to get in line sooner rather than later. There are different pots of money, and working in partnership with the public entity, we think we stand a greater chance. Again, these pots of money did not exist when we started this stuff.
Does anyone else have questions?
I
do.
So even if you don't get the federal funds, you have a backup plan for?
You mean for the demolition?
For any of it, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm assuming, because I'm an eternal optimist, councilman, and believe that the Senate is going to act. Once the building is demolished, I mean, we are just, we're pretty much there. Even if we were to go back to the commission, our application would look totally different. It's one thing, guys, to say to the commission, Councilman, that we have $1 million and we're not including it in the budget, so therefore it's not in our eligible basis. And have them view it, and it's a whole other thing to say, the building's down, right? See, they can't make that decision with that building up, even if we do everything. So get the building down, we remain committed, and yes, we want to begin to explore those quote-unquote backup plans now, which is essentially us sitting down saying, let's go in a joint fashion, the city and the developer, to the state seeking monies for this. Or we can do a partnership with the city. There's so many ways deals can be structured. I sit in this seat for 10 years in KCMO, Lord over all of our development, and seen every iteration. And to the extent that we have a committed mayor and council and a developer who's willing to work proactively and certainly with the community's best interest in heart, we can come up with something. It may look vastly different than how we started, but first things first, get the building down. That's it, that's the story. But I remain committed, unless you guys say, we're tired of food. That I have to do something else, but otherwise, I'm going to stick with it until we get it done.
I think, and this may be something that JD, when you had a conversation, but there's been some discussion about that demo possibly being considerably less than that.
Yeah, the demo. No, I can give you. I'll give you guys the asbestos and the demo bid. That's a win. Fall to the city.
Well, I mean, but we've had a contractor that has discussed, you know, doing the abatement and demo at considerably less than that. And that's just talk at this time, but maybe JD, you can talk with JD or later and see, because I know that the price was quite a bit less than $1 million. Yeah. So that might change things.
No, he put $1 million in there. That's a conversation that we need to have, Councilman. It is a fantastic question, and there is an answer to the question. I can show you all the asbestos bin and the demolition bin. Yes, the city would be in a very good position.
Okay.
Yes, that's how that works. Thank you. So when we have that conversation, JD, I'll bring those documents forth, and you can see. But it really does work well for the city.
Well, I do know that the city remains committed to addressing the blight of the property and turning it around for the citizens. So,
thank you. We can continue to work together, and I could reach out to you as quick as tomorrow. If you're really willing, we can set up something, and I'll just come back and we can go to work.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you all very much.
Thank you, Phil.
Good to see you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.